Time right now, hopefully, to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, with Appraise This. Good morning, guys.
Well, good morning.
It's just Tim?
Oh, brother.
Tim, good morning.
Good morning, Marshall. How are you?
Well, I came in this morning, and it was funny. All our network programming was going fine, and our local programming couldn't be heard. And so I had to come in, and for the first hour and a half of my show, we weren't on the air as I was trying to trace down what went wrong. And then I figured I'm going to give up trying to trace down and just re-engineer a new audio line for the time being. So at 7 o'clock, we got on the air, and here we are. And it's my appraise this morning is being a terrible morning.
Good morning.
There he is.
I keep going in and out for some reason.
Because you have video on. Turn the video off and you'll have better bandwidth. That's what the problem is. With both of you on the same bandwidth when you use video, it chews it up a lot. Are you still there, Greg? My morning continues because I'm sorry, guys. If we didn't call you this morning, your morning would be fine.
We're used to this. Not a problem.
So what are we going to talk about this morning?
I wanted to talk about, while Greg's fiddling with his video, is there was a big sale from a historical collection that came up, and one of the items that's in there that you don't really see that often, it was a suit of armor. And the title in the article posting this says, a suit of armor with royal DNA sells for $270,600. Well, that's what caught my attention.
Hello?
I just thought,
you're there.
How can you, Greg, hello, you're there. How can you say, okay, royal DNA? Well, you know, I'm assuming it was a hook just to get people to read a little bit more about the collection and about what it was.
Either that or else the royal person who wore it peed in his pants a lot.
Something. I would imagine you'd sweat. I was going with sweat, but yes, there's that too.
Let me just say I came in just a little bit late on this call because I was having technical difficulty. I have no idea what you were just talking about, but what a way to come into a phone call.
Yes. Well, we're talking about a suit of armor, Greg. It's a 16th century composite suit of armor with royal provenance.
Oh, yes.
Now, in the title of the article, instead of using the word provenance, they use the word DNA. And that's what really just kind of got me. I'm like, what, DNA? But it's the royal provenance. It sold for $270,600. And the quote is, the suit of armor was a constant source of interest in the run-up to the sale and a very popular attraction at the preview, said Morphy Auctions founder Dan Morphy. We were contacted by collectors from all over the world who wanted to bid on it, and they were very familiar with its provenance and importance. I was waiting for him to say, and DNA somewhere in there. But it's a circa 1510 to 1520 Maximilian suit of armor, which is similar to examples that were published in a book by the Metropolitan Museum. So it's in the Metropolitan Museum of Art titled Of Arms and Men, Arms and Armor at the Metropolitan, 1912 to 2012, and was assembled in 1920. So it does have an interesting background. It does have an interesting story that does go along with it. But I just thought, well, that's something you don't see that often, you know, that we come up with a lot are the suit of armor from any kind of royal provenance like that, which that in itself is very interesting.
Okay.
Well, and the DNA.
I'll go with you. That's the difference here. You think of sweat, and I think of somebody in a suit of armor. They got it. You know, they're scared out of their minds. So they got people. What's going to happen? Well, we'll know if there's any rust in there, right?
Oh, right? Boy, I can see where this conversation is going.
But if it's stainless steel, I don't know if it would rust. It depends on how well it was made.
Oh, man, I'll tell you.
Well, yes. Well, that just goes with your morning.
It makes my morning. Actually, that eases me into now the normal part of the day, thank God. Because
there we go. Good.
Oh, geez. Anyway. So, and how's the Silver Chef doing over there?
Oh, great. I'm working on my next podcast. We had guests this week, so I kind of took a little bit of a break from recording, but I'm working very hard, diligently. I'm going to be getting, hopefully, a sponsor for a video podcast. Oh,
so, watch out, Tim. Yeah. He's growing by leaps and bounds.
I know. Hey, good.
So now I saw the pictures. The people that visited you when they were on vacation, those are the people from West Virginia?
Yes. They were. Okay. They were indeed. Yes. Yes. And for 15 years, we were doing our fundraising events down there and raising a lot of money for the Ogilvy Mansion Museum and the Ogilvy Institute. And it's been a couple of years since they visited us, and they came down and stayed here for a week, and we had a terrific time. And while they were here, we went to we sent them to the new Norton Museum down here.
Yeah, which I went
totally
with
rebuilt. It was absolutely apparently, you know, the new building is stunning, and the collection is still really a good collection, and they have two interesting exhibitions up right now. So they went and had a terrific day at the museum.
It was the Rauschenberg exhibit, yes, which is really cool.
He is one of my favorite artists, and I really have to get down to see it before it goes. And the other thing that was really cool that I wanted to talk about today was we have talked several times about art and how it disappears, and is it really art if it disappears? This year was the 26th annual Lake Worth Street Art Festival. Now,
Street painting.
Street painting, yes. They block off two city blocks and all of the cross streets, and they tape off areas as canvas for over 600 artists, and all you have to do is register. There's no fee to be a part of it, and they spend Saturday and Sunday, come rain or shine, to create these unbelievable works of disappearing art. At the end of the day on Sunday, when they open the streets at 9 o'clock, people start driving over it, and by Monday morning, there's nothing left on the streets. It's truly an amazing event. A friend of ours that does our website and that I'm working with also on the podcasts is one of the organizers and one of the artists, as a matter of fact. He's from Houston. And they started out 26 years ago, just a handful of people with chalk, and they were recreating the classic masterworks on the street, and it just took off, and it's really an unbelievable event. They have a children's area. They have one half of a street dedicated only to children, where they even can provide you with the chalk. They send the kids in there to their little square, and they just have at it. And it's the greatest thing ever. So
there was one artist that was really great. That was unique, let's say, is that he had an image that he also had 3D glasses that were there. So when you put on the 3D glasses, you could see there was ducks that were in the water, and they just jumped out at you when you looked at the photograph. And then when you looked at what he was doing in chalk, in the same effect. That was, to me, I thought was one of the unique items.
I'm glad you mentioned it, Tim.
That was cool.
So glad you mentioned it, because I had to ask him, is there such a thing as 3D chalk? And he says, no, it's not the chalk. It's the technique that I use when I'm drawing to give you the effect of 3D. Because when you look at it, it doesn't quite look like it's in focus. And then you put the glasses on and bada bing, bada boom, it's right there in front of you.
Yeah. So,
and then there were several artists who were doing perspective paintings on the street, which means that you can look at it from a number of different ways. And our friend Kelly, who is one of the artists and the organizers, he was working on a piece with a teddy bear that when you look at it from the front, it looks like the teddy bear is sitting up. But when you look at it from any other angle, it just looks like a flat piece. So there's a lot. There's 600 artists, and each one of these is unique. And it's there are over 400,000 people that show up every year for this event. They're just meandering through the streets of Lake Worth, and it's really a tremendous festival.
They had a main stage. They had a variety of music. They had smaller little live bands playing. Everywhere you walk, there was music, food vendors.
And art. Music, food, and art. What more could you want? It was a great week. And beer. There was a great weekend.
Yes.
Food, art, and beer. You're right.
Three
American staples.
That's it.
All right, guys. Well, this has been an interesting morning, to say the least. I hope your week is fine. Are you guys got a relaxing week, or are you both out crazy again?
We have a bunch of projects that we're working on, but yeah, I hope your day settles in.
so do I.
And just FYI, my latest podcast is up on thesilvershift.net. Click on the podcast page and like the podcast, and hopefully I'll get sponsors and we'll be able to do more.
All right, guys, take care.
Have a great week, Marshall.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Tim, Luke, and Greg Straub, the appraisal guys, the Frickin' Frack, and Nick and Knack with Appraise. This here on Robin Hood Radio.